The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Few periods in history can compare to the 100 days between April and June in 1994 throughout the landlocked African nation of Rwanda. The very lowest estimates state that 500,000 people died during the Rwandan genocide, though the official governmental statistics top 1 million deaths. This was brutality on an unimaginable scale as ethnic tension gave way to murder at a speed that not even Nazis managed to achieve.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, today marks the anniversary of the start of the Rwandan genocide. And I want to share the story with you. The president of that nation was assassinated. A couple days later, the RPF invades, and we would see 100 days of bloody genocide. One of the worst genocides in recent history. Over a million people lost their lives. The Hutus turned on the Tutsis, and they killed, on average, about 333 people per hour. 5 people died per minute. 8,000 died a day. I mean, those are staggering, staggering numbers. Before the genocide took place, that was 1994, the Mother of God, a Blessed Virgin Mary, she came in this tiny landlocked country, just like she did in Fatima, just like she did in Champion, Wisconsin, just like she did in La Salette, just as she had across the centuries. And she appeared in to a group of young children, 7 visionaries in all. She came under the title Mother of the Word. And this was November 28th, 1981. And she came with a very urgent message for humanity. It's one that still resonates for our own day. You know, when these visions take place, and again, we defer to whatever the church ultimately rules. This is a church-approved apparition. But so often, they're accompanied by prophetic messages, sometimes even apocalyptic. I had the great privilege of being there for the very last apparition of the Blessed Mother. I was there in the jungles of Africa in Kibeho with her. And I actually didn't report on some of the stuff that was said, because I just thought, that's too far out there. You know, some of these kids saw murder, genocide, and rivers full of blood, and I just thought, that's crazy. What happened? I'll bring you back in time. On that November 28th, the Blessed Mother appeared to a 17-year-old girl. Her name was Alphonsine Mumariki, and she was alone in her school. It was a Catholic boarding school. It was founded by some priests and run by some nuns. And she arrived at school, and when the Virgin appeared, she says, "I am the Mother of the Word." And she explained what that meant. She says, "I'm the Mother of God." And she told her, "I've heard your prayers, and I would like it if your companions had more faith, because some of them do not believe enough." This is what the Virgin said to the kids. So the young girl later described Our Lady, and she said that when she appeared, she had this beautiful, seamless white dress on. She had a white veil on her head, and her hands were clasped together on her breast, and her fingers pointed towards the sky with her hands folded. And she said, I really couldn't determine the color of her skin. The one thing she said she was of incomparable beauty. That's what everybody says. I mean, she's the Mother of God. She radiates God. She radiates beauty. She was of incomparable beauty. I mean, you can't put words into these apparitions. You just can't. The Fatima seers, all these visionaries who had these experiences, they talk about how incredibly radiant, how incredibly beautiful she is when she appears. Most seers say they've never seen anyone so beautiful. And as has happened in other approved apparitions, you know, nobody believed Alphonsine. So she pressed her classmates, you know, to ask the Blessed Mother to enlighten them, and appeared to some of them too. And 2 months later, in January of 82, the Blessed Mother appeared to another student. Her name was Nathalie Muzamazampaka. And then the following month, March and May, March, I think Our Lady then appeared to a third student. Her name was Marie-Claire Mukongongo. And it was very significant. The bishop there began to study these kids, and the apparitions would take place. They would last a long, long time. And soon word got out, and crowds started to come to this place of apparition. And the message from the apparitions, and there's so many of them, was one for the world. It wasn't just for Rwanda. It was for the world. Just like La Salette was for the world. Just like Champion was for the world. Just like Fatima's was for the world. In 1982, our Blessed Mother said, look, my messages are not just for Rwanda or even for Africa. They're for the world. And the message is this, repent. Repent, repent, convert while there is still time. Our Lady made this very urgent appeal for the conversion of heart. Look, I want to stop on this point because, I mean, this is so true. This is a message for you. I don't know where you are with your walk with God. I know I need to repent. I know I need to convert. I need to be in a closer relationship with God. I need to detach from the things that keep me from Him. And that's the message for us all on a personal level. We look at these messages as though they're for somebody else. They're for you. They're for me. The Virgin said that the moral state of the world was a concern. Now, this is 1981. Look where we are today, right? Fast forward. This is 40 years ago. Fast forward to our day. We're dealing with transgender issues. We're dealing with all sorts of bizarre stuff. Aborting a child up to 4 weeks after it's born. I mean, bizarre stuff. Right? This is the stuff that cries for God's justice. The Virgin said the world is conducting itself very badly and that the world hastens to its ruin. It will fall into the abyss, she says. You know, it will be plunged into innumerable and unrelenting disasters. She says that the world is rebellious against God and that it commits many sins. How true is that, right? That the world has neither love nor peace. And if you do not repent, if you do not convert your hearts, you will fall into the abyss. And she says, I'm concerned with the turning to the world. The world is evil and rushes towards its ruin. You know, it's in rebellion against God. So, I mean, it's a powerful message of the rejection of God. So this is the early 80s, 81, 82. What ended up happening, really, which would validate this vision, on August 15th, right? That's the Feast of the Assumption, right? 1982, these young kids saw the Blessed Mother. She came. And if I remember correctly, she was dressed in black. And she was very sad. She was weeping because of people's unbelief and lack of repentance, their disobedience of God's commandments, rejection of His commandments. And the girls were given a horrific vision of the future. When I return, I'll share what they saw, what unfolded, and what may yet still come. Stay with me.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's good to be with you. Thank you for joining. It's a great bumper. I was just saying to Maggie. Love that. Hey, if you are just tuning in, today I'm sharing a little bit of the story of what took place in a tiny landlocked country in Africa. The country's called Rwanda. And today's the anniversary of the start of what would be a horrific genocide that the world turned a blind eye to for a period of time. And when it finally came to light, we know that over a million people lost their lives in about 100 days, and we saw a massive exodus from this country as the Hutus turned on the Tutsis, and they murdered these people in a gruesome fashion. In fact, as I was sharing when I left off, and if you missed anything, please go back to my archives. Maggie will have the show up. You can listen to these great conversations that we have here and revisit it and share it with others. When I left off, I talked about a vision of the Mother of God that took place on August 15th, 1982, when she came and warned the children of an event that would take place in the not-too-distant future. And she had warned that souls were running to their ruin. And she told the children, I need your help. I need you to help me turn these souls back to my son. And if you'll work with me, I'll give you a mission to lead those souls back from darkness, because the world right now, my child, is suffering. It's in a bad place. And she invited these children to pray and to fast, just like the Our Lady did at Fatima with the seers there and so many other places. What ended up happening was the vision that they had in August, it was either August 15th or August 19th, I want to say it's the 15th, the Virgin showed them, she gave them an eight-hour apparition. The visions lasted 8 hours. And again, Our Lady came weeping. She came very upset. And during the visionaries, the children saw total upheaval coming in the future. One of the kids let out a scream. They saw people killing each other. They saw them crying. They saw them screaming. They saw trees in flames. They saw abandoned corpses. Nobody to bury them. Bodies without their head. They saw a river of blood. Now, again, these are young kids. Virgin showed them what loomed in Rwanda's future. You know, what I found, you know, this is the way God works. It's striking. A river was specifically mentioned, right? The vision occurred during the 1980s, right? And its impression really was inescapable. Something horribly violent, something involving civil unrest was in Rwanda's future if there was not a return to God, if they did not turn back. And it left everyone with this horrible feeling of unrest. And during the spring of 1994, okay, we just fast forward. And this is how God always gives us time to repent and to convert. We are in a time of mercy right now. And even as the Lord said to St. Faustina, if you do not recognize this time of my visitation, before I come as a just judge, I first come as a merciful Savior. But woe to those of you who do not recognize this time of my visitation, because he will come as the God of justice. We see 12 years after this vision, what happens? 1994, a horrifying civil war erupts in Rwanda, caused by the assassination of Rwanda's president. He was a Christian whose family followed the apparitions, who consecrated the country to Jesus and Our Lady. It was also striking, in Rwanda, prior to these visions, there was an outbreak of violence against images of the Mother of God. Statues were vandalized, churches were broken into. There was this attack on things that were sacred. We're seeing that in our own country today, too. Well, this president's plane was taken down. He died in a sabotage aircraft. And just like what happened in Bosnia, you know, a series of tribal massacres unfolded. And the war would appall. It would just horrify the world in its grisly detail. The Kibeo prophecy came true. In fact, in just 4 months, they estimate, as I said, 800,000 to 1 million people lost their lives, with many of the nation's Catholics, including priests and nuns and bishops, all murdered, martyred gruesomely. In one Rwandan church, blood literally flowed down the aisles. After these Hutus went in, they massacred 5 priests and 12 women who were slaughtered in there. Their bodies, their blood just drained from their body, rolled down the aisle. Many cases, men were decapitated with machetes, bodies without heads. It's part of the prophecy, right? Children were sliced in half. It was demonic. I believe personally, these Hutu death squads, eyewitnesses, those survivors said it was a demonic frenzy. I believe that nation was possessed. I mean, there was something dark that fell upon it. One report I heard that the death toll was over 1 million. There were so many corpses, so many bodies. They couldn't be buried. They were simply left to bloat, to decay in the hot tropical sun. It was hell on earth. Others were thrown into, check this out, the Kagera River, right? You know what Kagera means? Kagera River? Or Kagera Rivera is how they say it over there. It's a river of blood. It's prophecy, making it into the newspapers. In May of 1994, the New York Times had a subhead, and they used those words, blood in the river. 10,000, they estimate about 10,000 bodies floated towards Lake Victoria, many of them bodies without their heads, the result of decapitations and machetes. The Virgin warned a decade prior what was to come. The children saw the future. The veil was pulled back. They glimpsed what loomed in Rwanda's future. And they were also warned about what was to take place in the world. Now, this is a message, not just for Rwanda, it's for all of us, a call to repentance, to conversion. You know, when the Blessed Mother appeared in Kibeo, she requested a chapel be built, and she gave it a weird name. She called it the Gathering of the Displaced. And people were saying, why would you name it that? That's weird. It doesn't make any sense. Well, it made sense because the war created an unprecedented 2.2 million refugees. And many people, Rwanda neighbors Zaire in Tanzania, it's where they went to. the largest single exodus in human history up to this Ukrainian situation. And you know what was really interesting? One of the camps for the displaced people, it ended up being at the very site of the apparitions in Kibeho. So April 22nd, 1995, there was a massacre in Kibeho, and maybe that was part of the horrifying prophecy as well. But the bottom line is this. This is a harbinger for other places. It's a harbinger when we see war, social uprising around the world, droughts and floods, severe weather, right? We're seeing plagues. Yeah. COVID-19, look what that has done, right? If you go back, you know, so often we look at these things in a localized way. In many ways, this vision was very apocalyptic. That's why I didn't report on it in my documentary. But it's a lesson for all of us. It really is. It's a warning of events to come to other regions. If, you know, Rwanda experienced apparitions of the Mother God just before its tragedy, if the same thing happened, let's say, in Bosnia, the same thing happened in Champion, Wisconsin in 1859, right? The Virgin Mary came there, and 10 or 12 years prior, she appeared in 59 and 71, 12 years later, just like Kibeho, she warned of a chastisement that would befall our own country, and we saw the worst recorded forest fire in U.S. history take place there. Thousands died. Sand turned to glass. It was so hot. It was an inferno. People thought it was the end of the world. But what happened in the end? The Mother of God came to the rescue of those who turned to her. Today we have statues weeping. We've got reports of apparitions. We've got events unlike anything we've seen before. What are we called to do? Our Lady calls us to pray the rosary. I invite you to do that with Father Rocky. We have the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. I invite you to pray that with me. I invite you to do both those prayers on your own. Pray them frequently. The other gift that Our Lady gave us there was the beads of the seven sorrows. And this is a powerful prayer, a really beautiful prayer. What I want to do is I want to share the beads of the seven sorrows. And maybe later this week I'll do that with you. That is an ancient prayer that the Virgin resurrected in Kibeho. It was lost in some respects at the time. The Rosary of the Seven Sorrows dates back to the Middle Ages. It's an ancient prayer that very few people pray today. And I have on my heart recently to start praying this. My wife and I have an intention we want to pray for. And, you know, today I thought, you know, what a beautiful prayer to pray together. It's powerful. It was given, the promises were revealed to St. Bridget of Sweden in the early 1300s. And our Blessed Mother promised to grant seven graces to those who honor her and they draw near to her son. If you'd meditate on her sorrows and enter into her grief. I'll share one or two with you. I only have a minute or two left here. And then I want to share with you a woman who lived through the Rwandan genocide. Her story is an amazing one. It's a powerful one. You might know New York Times bestseller, Immaculée Ilibigiza. She wrote a book called Left to Tell. And if you want to learn about what happened in Rwanda and you want to hear an unbelievable story of God's protection and grace, you've got to read that book. Okay, it's called Left to Tell by Immaculée Ilibigiza. And she prayed rosary and chaplet after rosary after chaplet. She prayed nonstop, and her story is amazing. You'll hear it coming up. But I also invite you to look into the beads of the seven sorrows. The Virgin Mary says, to those who pray this prayer, I will give them as much as they ask, as long as it does not oppose the adorable will of my divine Son or the sanctification of their souls. She promised to console you in your pain, in your work. She'll lighten you. She'll grant peace to your families. She gives a litany of these different prayers, and it's a powerful prayer that I think today heaven wants us to pray again. And we have all these beautiful prayers, right? We have the rosary. We have the chaplet. This is another one that I love. And again, you pray. The key is prayer from the heart and trust in God. I think that's the key to prayer. But these different devotions, these meditations really help you to enter a new level, I think, of prayer. During one of the visions in Africa, the Virgin Mary appeared to Marie-Claire Mukongongo and told her to promote the beads of the seven sorrows. And the Virgin suggested it be prayed as often as possible, but Tuesdays and Fridays were the days, Tuesday being the day that Mary first appeared to Marie-Claire and Friday being the day Christ was crucified. But I'll try to get information for you. In fact, Immaculée has actually I think she wrote a book on Quebejo, and I think she also has been a big promoter of the Beads of the Seven Sorrows. So we'll talk about it with her maybe when I return. But bottom line is this, and let me leave you with this thought, and then when we come back, we'll talk to Immaculée Libegiza. I invite you today, especially as we approach the holiest time of the year, as we get close to Holy Week and the Triduum, never forget the words of the Blessed Mother. She says, my children, I call you to pray. Pray, pray. Because in prayer, you will receive the greatest joy. You'll find the way out of situations that have no way out. If you're not praying, you're doing yourself a disservice. And I invite you today, as a result of what you're hearing here today, I think the Lord's speaking to you, commit to prayer. Even just a little bit, small steps will lead to bigger ones. But those are such dramatic words. Think of the situations you're in. Situations that seem to have no exits. Pray and you'll find ways out of those, because with God, all things are possible. We've all experienced that. We've seen frightened. We have situations with no solutions. There are current times we're facing, challenges facing the world, nations. There are personal moral challenges you might be battling. Where do you turn for answers? Prayer. Because with prayer, all things are possible. Do we face serious times? Absolutely. You better believe it. But never forget that when you advance against Satan by means of prayer, right? When you put on the armor for the battle, when you pick up your rosary, you will defeat him. And I really believe prayer, if you engage in it, you can prevent wars from happening. The Virgin said with prayer, you can stop wars. You can suspend even the laws of nature. And we've seen the saints do this. Are you praying for peace in Ukraine? Are you praying for the conversion of Russia? Are you praying for protection over our country? These are special times. I believe these are times of special grace. And look, I don't know how long we have until whatever these heavenly visions portend actually happens. One thing I do know, conversion is like an ocean liner. It takes a long time sometimes to turn around. You need to begin to turn your life around today. You need to break those old habits, to begin to form those new ones, to practice charity and love at every opportunity, to begin to fast and to sacrifice, to avoid that sin that's drawing you away from God, and to build your trust and your faith in God. If you do that, I guarantee you, you will see the tangible results of your prayer. You will begin to speed down that path of holiness. Your heart will open. You'll feel God's love in a new way. And then you'll find yourself ascending to a whole new dimension. When I come back, Immaculée Libegiza will join us. I'll share a great conversation I had with her regarding surviving that dark and bloody genocide in Rwanda, and how the power of prayer not only brought about protection for her, but allowed her to forgive those who murdered her family.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
We're all works in progress, and we're all in it together, celebrating life while striving towards eternal life, one day at a time. Your life connected. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right. Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back. It is great to be here with you today. Thank you so much for joining me. Hey, I have in studio with me today an extraordinary guest, and it is such a privilege to have Immaculée Libegiza with me today. I don't know if you know her story. If you don't, I want to recommend a book that will transform your life. It's called Left to Tell. She's a New York Times bestselling author, and she's an international speaker, and a woman who's done a lot to promote the apparitions of Our Lady in Quebejo, Rwanda. She's a story of incredible forgiveness, and I know we all have been injured. We've all been hurt, but what she endured, few humans ever have to endure, and is a living witness, a testimony to the power of prayer, what it does in terms of bringing protection,
in the transforming power of forgiveness. You know, Immaculee is a big champion also of another prayer. It's called the Beads of the Seven Sorrows. And I want to talk a little bit about that today, and then we'll get her input on that. I was very blessed as a young man. As soon out of college, I got into filmmaking, and Our Lady led me to Rwanda, and I was present for the last approved apparition of the Mother of God there. And I began to learn what Our Lady was revealing, and there's so much. There's a call to purity. There's a message about the return of Jesus Christ. There's a call to prayer and to penance, to amending our lives. But like so many places where she calls for prayer of the rosary and prayer of the and the call to fast, she resurrected an ancient prayer, one that is unbelievably powerful. And the fruits of it have brought about conversion. You're struggling with infertility. You may want to turn up the radio. You're going to learn something very, very important today. It's an ancient prayer. It dates back to the Middle Ages. And it's been revived again through these apparitions. Our Lady appeared in 1981 as the Mother of the Word. And over the course of those apparitions, she came and taught these kids many, many things. One of my big takeaways from this apparition are the Beads of the Seven Sorrows. There's a lot of promises associated with this prayer. And Mac has actually written a booklet on this. I'm going to get you a web address for this, too, because if you want to learn more and you want to pray this, I believe her website is immaculee.com, but I'll get you the website coming up. During Our Lady's visits in Cabejo, she revealed that this prayer, the Beads of the Seven Sorrow, possess immense spiritual power for those who pray it from the heart, for those who pray it sincerely. And she said that when prayed with an open, repentant heart, that this rosary, it would win us God's forgiveness, not only for our sins, but it would free souls from guilt and from remorse. And she also promised that over time that the Beads of the Seven Sorrows would develop within us an understanding of why we sin, a knowledge that would give us wisdom and strength actually to change and remove those internal flaws. So if you're struggling right now, gentlemen, with pornography, this will liberate you. This will free you. If you are struggling with gossip or theft or infidelity or any other type of sin, this will strengthen you. You know, it will remove those internal flaws as weaknesses of character or personality faults that may cause you unhappiness, that block you from that relationship with God. And I'm telling you, this is an extraordinary prayer. It contains all the power you're going to need to change your life for the better. And the seven sorrows are the seven sorrows that Our Lady went through. Let me introduce and welcome to the program Immaculee. She'll give you really far more information than I ever could on this ancient but now ever-present prayer and why it is transforming lives. Immaculee, thank you for being here. Great to have you in studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you are a big, big devotee of Our Lady of Cabejo, Mother of the Word. I know you're working on getting a basilica built, and you're doing incredible work. You knew Emmanuel, Segastasha. You knew many of the seers there, but you wrote a book about him.
Yes.
So much to talk about, so little time. Let's talk about the Beads of the Seven Sorrows, because like the rosary, which I love and pray, like the chaplet, which is a big part of my spirituality, this is another prayer that I learned decades ago when I was there and have seen the fruit of it. Why don't you fill everyone in on why it's so efficacious?
Yes. Oh, thank you again for speaking about this. So actually, Our Lady called it the Rosary of the Seven Sorrows. And she said it always existed, but somehow the world have forgotten about it. And she wanted to revive it throughout the world. Thankfully, the Vatican approved it. But she used to tell us, she would tell the visionary, I was a kid, I used to go to the apparitions place, and I will hear, and Our Lady will say, my children, help me spread this message. I will make miracles more than I ever did before through this devotion of the Seven Sorrows Rosary. So as a kid, I used to say, I will help you, but I really never knew how am I going to do. I would tell my friends, but now that God have privileged me really to write a book that have been known around the world, I take advantage of that. Every week I travel somewhere, I always share at the end about the Seven Sorrows Rosary. Wow. And I have seen miracles happen. I used to ask Our Lady, like, do one miracle so that I know what I'm telling people that you promised. Oh my, I had many. One of the big miracles that happened, people who try to conceive. I mean, I have a couple who tried 10 years, for 10 years, couldn't conceive. They started saying the 7 years rosary. They got pregnant. 7 years, another one, 15 years. Wow. I have like maybe 35 cases, and many of them called their children immaculate.
Wow, you know, how
because
awesome.
It was That's introduced, great. But after Our Lady, not me, but the connection.
Yeah.
So it is beautiful. Another big miracle that happened, people with addictions.
Yeah.
I never knew there were so many addictions until I started to spread the message. Wow. People write to me telling me their children were dying. They have literally given up a lot. I mean, computer addictions, medicine. They said they started.
Drugs, pornography, drugs, alcohol,
yes.
sex, overeating.
Yes, exactly. All that. And I have heard so many. There's one girl who was on heroin, and she was actually homeless. And her mother came to see me in one retreat I had. I gave her the 7 Sorrows Rosary. She said, if my daughter, I'm going to say it every day, if my daughter heals, I will bring her to one of her retreats to present her to a lady. But she was saying, it's almost impossible the way she is. You know, 2 years later, she brought her to my retreat, completely healed. And the girl was crying, beautiful young girl. She was on the street. She said she lost everything except the beads of the 7 Sorrows Rosary. So that's another one. Another thing, I see people with, I wish everybody can heal. So, you know, anyone, everybody. And I have to say this because, of course, I have seen it. I have like 4 cases of pancreatic cancer have healed.
Wow.
Literally through the 7 Sorrows.
Pancreatic cancer. 4 cases
especially
of cancer.
Of that one. Another one was backbone cancer. Another one, breast cancer, who was given like 2 months to live. Healed completely. So anytime I say this, I feel bad because there are many people, of course, who are sick. You wish everyone can just... And again, we have to say the rosary of the 7 Sorrows. Our Lady said, say it every day. If you can say it every day, at least twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays.
Wow.
Yeah. And she said she would do these miracles and they happen. No, so I'm spreading it. I'm happy.
Is Marie Claire Mukongango, who was the seer who I think was really charged with spreading this particular devotion, did she get killed in the genocide or did she survive?
She was killed, yeah.
She was killed in the genocide. Our Lady told her, she said that that this prayer would convert hearts. It would convert hearts back to Jesus. And the number one intention I get on the radio, and this network does, and just about every network that I talk to, you know, that is spreading God's message, is prayer for conversion of their loved ones.
Conversion.
It's a, Our Lady said, it's a powerful tool for prayer and conversion to fight evil and to receive God's love.
Yes. And she says she will, the graces of the rosary said for somebody will act on them as if they were the ones who prayed it. She said it's a gift she got us from God for parents, especially for mothers who cry for their children.
Wow.
I know. It's beautiful.
That's incredible. So healing, addiction, conversion.
Conversion,
Cancer. Just the fruit of it has been unbelievable.
Yes. And like the other rosary, when we pray for jobs, you know, when people are having nightmares, any attacks, really.
Yes.
So it has been so good to share it and to hear people say and to feel like you're helping Our Lady. And I really always tell people, if you feel it, share. Because she wants the whole world. She said, we need it more than ever today.
Now, I know that you're New York-based now, right? Is that where you live?
Yes, I do.
And for those who don't know your story, maybe we give them a thumbnail, maybe a brief story of what happened, a little bit about your book.
Mm-hmm.
Many of you may have read the book, Left to Tell. She is my guest today, Immaculate Ilibigiz, is a New York Times bestselling author. And during the genocide that took place in 94, million people lost their lives.
Yes.
They were brutally massacred. This was all prophetic, too. The Virgin Mary, when she came as Mother, the Word appeared one time to the seers of Gibeho, weeping and showed them visions of rivers floating with bodies with no heads. She showed the horror that was about to unfold. And I won't go into the description of all of it, but Immaculate was she was divinely protected, although her story is unimaginable, and I think few could survive what she did. Why don't you share a little bit of your story, and really the heart of your story is one of forgiveness in the end.
Yeah, oh, thank you. And I really, again, this story we lived in Rwanda, you're right, it is very connected with the message of Our Lady. And what I love most, and the reason why I really wrote about her, Our Lady of Kibeho, she said if we had listened to her, if we have said the rosary from our hearts, what was going to happen to our country would not happen. So I'm a product of us not listening to Our Lady.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But, can I pick up on that point? Because that's really important.
Every
generation ignores the important message of heaven.
Yes.
I mean, I think of Fatima in 1917. The Virgin says, pray the rosary, you know. Otherwise, you know, Russia will rise. It'll spread its errors. Mm-hmm. The faithful will be persecuted. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. If we would have responded, we may never seen World War II.
Exactly.
Or all the horrors that communism in the decades ahead would bring. And this happened in La Salette when she gave a similar warning, in Champion, Wisconsin. You go throughout history, the Mother of God, God in his great mercies, always sending her in an effort to draw us back to him and to pray and to repent. God wants to extend his mercy, but he'll honor our free will. And if we reject these messages, then we have to deal with the consequences that follow. And Rwanda is a situation that became visible in grisly detail.
Yes. Everybody in Rwanda today who know about what Our Lady said wish. Like, the consequences will last for 100 years for a lifetime. We wish you can turn life behind and then listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I lived through the apparition and then I lived through the genocide. I still remember the morning of April 7th, when my brother came to my room and told me the president of the country died that night, I screamed to him. I said, they're going to kill us. Mm. And right away, it was like a movie came through my mind. This is what Our Lady was talking about. And she said, if you don't listen to me and it happens, it will be bad. Every single person in the country will suffer. Those who will die may be better. Actually, those who will stay, they will suffer more. And that's exactly what happened. So my brother told me, I remember I went to meet my parents. We are scared. We found out they blocked the borders of the country, the government that had planned all that. And next day, my father gave me a rosary. It was like this I'm holding now, red and white rosary, and asked me to go to the neighbor. When he did that, you know, I never had apparitions. I wish I can see Our Lady. But it was almost so clear in my heart, like he's telling me, you will not see me again, but you know what to do when you need anything.
Wow.
Yeah, you run to the rosary, the prayer. And I fought that. And no, I can't. No, we're going to see each other in my heart. But that was it. I never saw them again. I went to my neighbor where he sent me to hide. And I knew we were in trouble. And this man put me to sit in 3 by 4 feet in the bathroom with 7 other women, thinking we are going to be there for 3-4 days. We stayed there 3 months, literally. And I remember I went in, I was 115 pounds. I came out 65 pounds. Every bone was out. But a lot happened during that time. First, emotionally, I was angry. I thought if I came out, I would be a soldier and revenge my family the first weeks. Then when they started to hunt for us, to kill us, like miracles were happening, really.
And let me explain what happened. The Hutus, which were predominantly Muslim, turned on the Tutsis, which were predominantly Christian in the area there. And folks, they hunted human beings like cockroaches, is what they would say.
They did.
They literally would take people's heads off with machetes. Bodies were left to bloat in the hot tropical sun. The Kagera River there had so many bodies floating in it that they were worried it would contaminate Lake Victoria.
Yeah.
It was a genocide unlike anything the world has ever seen. And the world, in large part, had a blind eye to it. It created one of the largest exoduses in human history. 1.2 million or 2.1 million, forget the exact number, fled to Tanzania and a lot of the neighboring countries there. So Immaculate, her life was being hunted, and she was kept in this small little bathroom with how many, 6 other women?
7 other women.
7 other women.
3 by 4 feet, small.
3 by 4 feet, imagine that. Think of how long your arm is, 3 feet by 4 feet. With 7 other people, you can't lay down for 90 days.
90 days.
You can't eat. You have to share this. You couldn't use the bathroom for fear of somebody hearing you. I mean, there was all sorts of problems that she faced.
Yeah.
And yet in the heart of that, when these terrorists literally were outside her door ready to kill her, she turned to prayer and received unbelievable divine protection. So I'll let you pick it up from there.
It was the rosary my father gave me. Finally, it is all I needed. I started to pray from morning until night. I mean, I remember one time I counted how many rosaries I said. We couldn't talk.
Yeah,
so I just prayed all day. I said 27 rosaries every day and 40 Divine Mercy chaplet every day.
40 Divine Mercy chaplets. Wow.
So from 6 in the morning, when I woke up, before I started complaining how painful it is, I said, let me just pray. And I finished like 10 o'clock at night and then fall asleep where I was. In the morning, just pick up again. So he gave us food at night. He would bring a plate, you know, when his children are sleeping, and bring a plate and then run back. Wow. So we shared that. We went in the bathroom in front of each other. It was bad. Really, I never thought pain like that can exist during our time. Yeah.
90 days of it. That's insane.
It was bad. And then changes happened through the rosary.
Yeah.
From anger, I started to confront God. I remember any time I say the words, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive, I'm like, no, I don't want to say that.
I know.
Yeah. And I begged God, help me to forgive. I just want to be on your team. I want you to be in good terms with you. And the time came. I never thought it was possible.
So how did you ultimately get out? And then what happened in terms of forgiveness?
So when forgiveness happened when I was sitting in the bathroom. I was just fighting with God through the rosary. So anytime I said, forgive us as we forgive, I felt like I was lying to God. And this time, it's all I needed. It's Him I needed. Oh. Nothing else mattered. I said the rosary throughout the day. So as I'm confronted by that part, I started to skip it because I didn't want to say it and not mean it and lie to God because it's who I had.
Yeah.
So after time, I said, you can't. It was almost like something was telling me, remember, it's Jesus who gave those words. If I were you, I would not try to change His prayer. So I put it back, but then I went on my knees and begged God, if I can trust you to protect me in the bathroom, why can't I trust you to change my heart, to forgive?
Yeah.
I never thought it was possible. How do you forgive somebody who is trying to kill you, kill your mom and dad? I just never thought there's a possibility. But right there, I realized it was me who didn't want to let go. It's funny. Anger, sometimes we enjoy it.
Yeah, we do.
It feels
as if you're right.
We like it. I never wanted to ask God, help me to forgive. But from the time I did genuinely, because I didn't want to be dishonest to God, the time started to come. Things started to change in my heart. And I still remember, tomorrow we are celebrating the Good Friday.
Yeah.
I remember going through the fifth sort of mystery, and Jesus is dying on the cross. I'm there. In my imagination, I wanted to be there. What happened? Reading the Bible, I asked the man to give me. What happened exactly? Who was there? Which I knew, but I just wanted to leave it. And I remember it took me by surprise when he said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. That was it. You know, when you have been looking for an answer to an equation, you don't know how. They don't get it. They don't know what they do. Why are you trying to be like the one you don't like what they're doing? Why are you competing with evil? They don't know what they do. They will face consequences.
Yeah.
You believe in me. There is hell. There is purgatory. Don't be like them. That alone changed everything. And then I asked myself, why were I so angry? And it was so sad. It was really a moment of grace, which I know is available to everybody. But that moment made me realize I was angry with the Hutus, but not only with the Hutus, but the children who will be born through them, kids who are not even born yet, because I hated the tribe. And I realized how unreasonable it was going to be. How do you hate everybody, innocent and bad people? And I begged God for mercy, and I started to pray for them. Because if I can change, another person can change too. Who am I to say, nobody, you know, the bad, the evil? Maybe if I pray for them, they would change. It was a new day. I felt like I was lifting from the ground in the bathroom. I felt so much joy in my body, like joy. And before, I had a headache. I was angry. I had a stomachache. But I thought, well, that's what you do when you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, I'm breathing. I can think about my future because I let go of that anger. It was a grace, but it's a grace available to anyone who is willing, just willingness.
My guest today is Immaculate Ilibigiza, a genocide survivor, the great Rwandan genocide. Immaculate lost her parents, two brothers, her grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, neighbors, friends, and classmates in that war, and spent 90 days really in terror in a bathroom until she could truly forgive from her heart, and she did that through the rosary. In the end, you made an escape, right? You tried to get out.
I did, yeah. The war lasted 3 months. The bad guys, they ran away from the country, and people from the Tutsi and the Hutu tribe who were against what they were doing, they captured the country. That's how we came out. So for first 3 weeks, I lived in a refugee camp with people who have lost their arms, who survived in a much horrible way. And I found a lady in that camp who knew my parents, gave me a home. And quickly, I had to find a job just to survive again. I didn't have anything. And I worked with United Nations and until I came to the U.S. in 1998. Yeah. But God and faith became everything for me.
In the end of that genocide, at the end, it's a modern Holocaust, folks, really, to put it that way. Three quarters of the Tutsis would be killed by the time that was over.
Yeah, maybe more.
Absolutely horrific. In the end, you went and you forgave the people that murdered your family, though.
Yes.
And that is, there are people listening right now who cannot forgive their spouse because they've been unfaithful to them. Mm. Or to the drunk driver that took their child. Or there's a lot of people out there who cannot forgive. I see these crime shows, and in the end, I see people say, I'll never forgive them. I hope they rot in hell. What message did you say to these people? How did you muster the love to forgive the very people that just took your family's life?
You know, I can so much understand when somebody's saying, I feel this angry, somebody offended me, betrayed me this much. I can imagine because I was there. But what I will tell everybody, if you are a Christian, if you truly believe in forgiveness, you believe in God, God asks us to forgive. Be willing, at least, to respect God. Be willing to listen to him. Be willing to do his will and just ask him, help me. You might not know how to forgive, but I promise you, if you ask him to help, just to respect him, his will, he will find a way that is so comfortable and that is reasonable. And he will make justice for you. God is just.
Yes.
If somebody is trying to harm you, do good, he will take care of that. Yeah. Our Lady Nikibeho used to tell us, when we pray for people who have hurt us, we weaken the power of the evil around them.
Wow.
So we snatch them out of the hands of the evil. So if you don't feel like you want to be friends with somebody who have hurt you, at least pray for them to change.
What a powerful insight. And it's something that Christ first, I think, demonstrated from the cross, didn't he? As he hung there, an innocent man, blood draining from his body, being tortured to death, he cried out to God the Father, and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You heard Immaculate, lost family and friends and suffered a horrible, horrible experience. They're praying for the very people who perpetrated that. You know, it's to me, I don't know. I hope I have within me the capacity to forgive like so many of these great people that you hear about can do. I can't understand a parent who, like I've seen it on television many times, a mother whose, you know, daughter was killed by somebody, or a parent, a father, you know, and they turn around and they forgive the person that did that. I just, that's heroic virtue. It really is. And I challenge you today. I challenge you. Because I know that you may be in a similar situation. Somebody may have hurt you in your past. They may have done something that you just cannot let go. Forgive them. And now do the tough thing, but it's liberating because I think what Immaculate had to say is so true. Pray for them. When you pray for them, this is Our Lady Cabejo said, you weaken the power that the evil one has. You weaken his grip. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who've hurt you. Repay their evil with love. I guarantee you, you'll be blessed. You'll be rewarded for that. You will be rewarded. The only thing we take with us when we die is how much we love. I really believe that. It's love that is the bridge between this life and the next. And many of us are given opportunities. I know you've been given many opportunities in your own life to exercise forgiveness, compassion, mercy, and to show love. And when I hear Immaculate Ila Begiza tell her story, it just, I don't know, it's a wake-up call. Once again, it touches my heart. If that's new to you, and I know not everybody has read the story, the book is called Left to Tell, okay, by Immaculate Ila Begiza. Left to Tell, it's a New York Times bestseller, and it is a great, great story.